Hi, my name is Wei Chun and welcome to the Woke Salaryman video channel. In this video, I'm going to talk about the biggest challenge that face creative entrepreneurs and business owners as your efforts are rewarded by business needs that come in. You need to fulfill more and more of these business needs. It becomes harder and harder for you to actually enjoy the thing that you like doing in the first place. You no longer like doing it, it becomes a chore. When some things become business, right, you make it a predictable way of doing things, there's SOPs and stuff, and as a result, it loses that initial spark and risk and exploration of creativity that you once loved about doing creative work. So having run a creative business now for 4.5 years, I'd like to share my experiences in dealing with this issue and some tips also on how to overcome it. First off, let me introduce myself and what I do. My name is Wei Chun and I'm one of the co-founders of a company called The Woke Salaryman, and we make stories about personal finance primarily on social media. We usually do this through visual storytelling like comic strips, but we also do things like articles and IG stories and now videos as well. For the first 3 years of the business, how I introduced myself was that I am the co-founder and also the main illustrator or the main artist at The Woke Salaryman. In the past 1.5 years, that has started to change, and now instead I introduce myself usually just as the co-founder of The Woke Salaryman, or sometimes I'll say I'm an art director or a story guy. And to be honest, I'm not super stoked about the change. As a creative business owner, it has become less and less creative and more business owner. And I've gotten sometimes a bit uncomfortable about how business owner it is because I miss the creative stuff a little bit. So after some soul searching, after some conversations with my co-founder, as well as one particularly great episode of podcast that we did with the couple of co-founders from the Black Hole Group. They are kind of like our seniors, like they're ahead of us. In talking to them and talking about scaling and stepping back when you need to step back, I found some perspective and I've boiled it down to 5 tips. So tip number one is that you can do anything, but you can't do everything. A confession that I have to make is that actually now I draw at most about 20% of all the artwork that you see going out on The Woke Salaryman. So this idea of being a main artist or being the main drawer of all the stuff that you see actually was quite a core identity for me. I don't know if it's just a trait of mine, but I like being known as somebody who was not afraid of getting their hands dirty to do menial production work. So I prided myself in the fact that I took care of most of the stuff that we did. And this hit me quite hard some months ago. I really had some ideas that I wanted to do, some comics that I had written that I was very passionate about producing, but the business owner side was more pressing and I found that I didn't have time to be creative because I have to go and be a business owner. For example, when it comes to the book, like a lot of my time and effort is just spent laying out the book, making sure that the proofs look good, that the color or the shading looks good, that the font is in the right places. When it comes to the t-shirt, it's things like where is the logo printed, how big is the label. When it comes to the plushie, it could be things like the stitching, where does the tag go, how big is the tag, is there an accompanying label, what does the label say, and things like that. Oftentimes not very artistically interesting stuff, but this is what the business owner side of me being a creative business owner needs. The point here is very simple. Consider getting help. Currently, we have one full-timer. Her name is Wen Xing and she's fantastic. She is usually faster than me and she nails it very quickly, and her sketches are cleaner than mine and it conveys the idea a lot clearer than I can in a shorter span of time. I'm not saying that she's a better artist per se, but for the business needs that we have, certainly, she oftentimes will outdo what I can provide for the company. So it's at a point where I can safely, logically, objectively say that it's oftentimes better for the company if she does the drawing and not me. There are a lot of things that are required of you as a business owner, and a lot of them are not art and creative stuff. As much as I can do a lot of things, there are some things that I'm better at and there are some things that I like doing. There are people in this world, and this blew my mind when I find out, that just likes doing finance, they like doing auditing, they like doing HR, that's interested in running a company in the other aspects that is not just creating the work. There are people like that. And if you have the capacity to do so, you should seek out these people, collaborate with them, or get their help or onboard their services, because it gives you more time to do the thing that you like doing and the thing that you're good at. And oftentimes this is what the business needs. An example is our first hire, Vivian, who is our business account manager. I don't know her official title, right? But she also handles our finances because she has to do so as an account director, right? It was difficult initially for me to think about someone else coming in to handle that stuff, to get perspective on that aspect of our business. But now, having done it for quite a few years now, Viv has been with us for quite a long time. I'm so glad we did that. And it's funny because Viv is like a boss that we hire. She comes in and she tells us what to do. And I like that because then she'll just send us a list of tasks every day. And then me and Ri Ming, even though we technically own the company, we'll just go, oh, okay, then we do it, right? And it's nice because it allows us to just focus in on doing the things that we do best and that we like doing. Your job as a business owner, creative or not, is to figure out where you are best suited. When you have multiple resources, you must think about how to allocate these resources as efficiently as you can. That is your obligation as a business owner. How it manifests for the work side, man, is that we hire somebody to help us. We also do things like we have an accounting software and an accounting company that helps us do our accounting, because then it is cheaper and easier for us. So it doesn't have to just be either a co-founder that does a different thing from you, or you hire somebody to do the role for you. It could also be, for example, if you're a painter, you can have an agent that represents you and helps you sell your work, that knows you and does all the things you don't like to do, like go for those wine and cheese parties and talk to prospective people that want to buy your stuff. It could be that you employ the services of a sales management software. You know, it could be that you hire somebody to help you to distribute the goods that you make, like plushies or whatever, right? So there are a lot of ways in which you can do that. So tip number one, really, is consider looking for help. So point number two is that you are not just your input, you are also the output. So the input refers to the actual work that you are doing. So for me, it's like maybe sitting down to edit a video or to sit down and draw a comic from beginning to end. And the output refers to the results that we get. So what is the amount of comics that we're making? How much money are we making? How much engagement are we getting overall as a company? That's the output. And I find that the creative business owner is a little bit at odds at both sides, because the creative is more concerned with the input and the business owner is more concerned with the output, and you have to be concerned with both. The difficulty for the creative person is that you tend to be more obsessed with the input. But what I'm trying to say here is that as a business owner, you must also concern yourself with the output, and you must find a way to reconcile these two things. This point also means for me that I feel a little bit of a sense of loss, because as a creative person who is identifying as an illustrator, I'm drawing less and less nowadays. I'm solving less visual storytelling problems, and I'm more of like making a series of decisions that the business needs me to make, and that makes me feel a bit sad lah. But like I said, the thing about being a business owner is that you also have to live in a world of output. An example of this might be that maybe I have certain biases and values towards hiring local. I want to hire local because I believe that that's the right thing to do. And also I feel like local has a better premium in terms of quality because we tell stories from a local perspective. This might be so, but still, as a business owner, I must consider the other option, what it gives me in terms of pros and cons, right? If I was to say outsource a lot of the drawing work, a lot of the production drawing work that we do to overseas, right, it will mean that it will lower our cost tremendously at a little bit of a trade-off, which is that maybe the quality will go down a bit in terms of how relevant or relatable it is to a local audience. And we have still so far made the decision to keep it local at a little bit of additional cost, but we think about that option all the time for the future. We will revisit thinking about outsourcing again and again and again, and this is our obligation as a business owner, as much as there are certain core sacred values I might hold about how we should do things, because the business output side still needs to be met, especially if the market changes, especially if our competitors adapt to that. Maybe there's a competitor that does a similar thing to us, that's doing it just as well as we are, that can charge lower because they go overseas to source their thing, right? Then we have to contend with that. We either change our business model, shift it somewhere else to compete on a different, slightly different arena, or we also have to go overseas to match their price point. And this is something that is expected of you as a business owner, creative or not. So I'm not saying you cannot choose to be more artistically indulgent or make the choice to be a certain way. It's just that, let's say you make the choice to be more boutique, more premium, more like stringent about your quality and how you produce your work, right? fine, but you still have to make up for that premium and find your place in the marketplace. A lot of times this might come down to, for example, cost, that you will not be as price competitive because your cost of manufacturing your services or your goods, which art is, by the way, especially in the commercial marketplace, is higher. So our prices might be higher, so we might have to compete in a different space, like I said. But before you get upset with me and dislike the video and just click away, I get it, right? I just said these two previous points to start off in the business side first. I'm going to turn now to the creative side because I also think, on the flip side, that it's very important as creative business owners to also nourish our creative sides. That is actually in the long term good for business. Maybe not in the short term, but definitely in the long term. So that comes to my next point, which is that for creatives, non-business critical work is often business critical work. Let me explain this distinction. So when I say business critical work, what we refer to it in our office when we say business critical work is just sponsored content, because that is the primary way in which we earn our money. We do sponsor stories. And then non-business critical work would be our organic content, the stuff that we have things to say, stories that we feel like are interesting, but we can't find a sponsor to sell it to. So there is some crossover, there are a lot of stories that we start writing, then we pitch to potential sponsors that we think may be a good fit. But a lot of times also we develop stories in collaboration with our sponsors. So there is some overlap there. The thing is, we can just choose to focus all our efforts and resources on making sponsored content, and that might earn us more money in the short term. But it's also important for us to go and spend time doing organic stuff that doesn't give us money straight away, because that kind of stuff has more space for us to be creative, to explore things, to take risks that we can't take when we are doing sponsored content that has money tied to it, that has a very certain deliverable and a very strict and tighter brief. Because I believe that for any creative enterprise, the key to staying relevant lies in pushing forward and taking risks. It's a bit like how other businesses, the non-creative or artistic ones, stay relevant, right? They have to continue to upskill their people and they have to keep innovating new ways to stay ahead. The creative business's way of staying ahead is to take creative risks, to try new things and to fail, and maybe 20% will succeed and 80% will fail. But the 20% will succeed, some of these, right, might be so good that it might be another additional 5 years of business for your company because you managed to do something new and creative. Because that's what creative means, right? When you say, hey, that's very creative, it means usually that you have not seen it done in this way before. So how do you do something new? You have to go to a new place that nobody has been to yet, or combine things that people have not combined before yet. The trick to doing it is that you have to give yourself and your team proper leeway and proper space to do this. It has to be something that you don't just say, but you must commit business resources to giving that space. And we'll talk a lot about this space later on, but I like to just outline a little bit usually how it comes down. I've been in other creative companies, and how it comes down to is that they say, yeah, you can be creative when you find yourself having free time because there's no business stuff coming in. And then you go and try and experiment. And it sounds very good, but oftentimes what happens is that business keeps coming in. There's no end to the work. So what you have to do is actually you have to schedule in this time to do non-business or non-immediately short-term critical business stuff. That stuff is good for you. It allows you the space to go and be creative. So now we've established the need for this kind of space, the next couple of points will talk about what kind of space this is and how do you specifically work within these kind of spaces. The first kind of space that I'll talk about is the idea that you have to spend time being unproductive. I'm a strong believer in decompression. I'm a strong believer in the fact that you need to spend time being unproductive to be productive. Like we've said, you know, when it comes to creativity, a lot of what we do is to explore outside of our comfort zones, and there's an element of risk and venturing into unknown places. I also think about it a bit like stretching. If you want to have a wider range of movement creatively, you need space to be able to stretch. Imagine trying to do all these big stretches in a small room. It's much harder, right? So that's the same with being creative, and you must have all this empty space around you, this emptiness, to be able to find ways to not think about work. And sometimes, you know, I think many people can relate to this who are creatives. The best stuff comes to you in moments of emptiness. I think my top three idea generating location is first when I'm cycling like a long and straight road. I don't have to focus on cycling, so I can just let my mind wander. Good things come to me when I get in that state. Second one is when I'm drifting off to sleep in my bed, like just before I sleep, and I'm just sitting there thinking, lying there thinking, good stuff comes to me. And the third one is, of course, the almighty porcelain throne, the toilet bowl, right? After I am done doing my business passing solids, right? There's a moment, a beautiful lingering moment where I just sit there and some of the best stuff comes to me because I'm not needed elsewhere for the moment. I have my sacred 10 minutes, right? And I'm just sitting there in emptiness and the best stuff can come to you in that time. Hayao Miyazaki calls this ma, or emptiness, and it's present in a lot of his work, and it's a moment of lingering, ruminating beauty that really lets you sit and bask in something, in nothing. And there can be a lot of profound, beautiful moments that come in that time. And I think it's something that you as a creative business owner must find a way to harness, must find a way to bring into your business. And the way to do that is to sometimes just give yourself and your colleagues some space to not have to think about work. If you think about the idea of emptiness or ma also, actually it's present in all forms of art. If you think about music, ma or emptiness can be silence. If you think about films or animated film, if you think about films, ma or emptiness can be the lack of movement or cuts. If you think about writing, ma or emptiness can be paragraphing or punctuation. If you think about visual design, it can be white space or negative space. So you must allot for this. Like, I see a lot of companies, they put like recreation corner, then they'll put like a switch or like a game console in the lounge there, but I rarely see people actually using it. Like at the Work Cyberman, what we try to do is that we don't breathe down people's necks and we do it ourselves too. Sometimes Rui Ming will just play Pokemon Unite on his phone. I might just watch a YouTube video like halfway through the workday, and we don't really have the kind of thing where like we're always looking over people's shoulder and, hey, why are you watching YouTube video? You should be working now, paying your salary, work. So that's very important, decompression. So another example of emptiness or space or buffer is the idea of making mistakes. I think it's very important for you as a creative business owner to embrace failure and also give space for failure to happen. I'm shooting this video now and I'm feeling a bit like insecure because I feel like it might be lousy, and as I record it, I'm losing confidence. But this is part of it lah. We will try things and we'll fail, and some things doesn't work out. And it's a bit like investing lah. I find like creativity is the same way, in that there is no reward without risk. So the higher the potential reward that you want, the bigger risk you might have to take, because you have to venture further into even more unexplored territory creatively that might not work out because it might be too strange and abstract or too far away. The idea of creating this space for you to fail is very important, and you must not beat yourself up too much when you try things and fail, because that's part of the creative process. It's just tough when you combine it with business, because business tends to be a lot more black and white and a lot more min-max, and when something doesn't make money, time is ticking for it to go. But I think just the caveat for creative businesses is that we need to be able to learn from all this non-profitable, non-viral, non-good return stuff. And if your businesses is going to survive in the long term, I think there's a lot to be learned from failure and a lot to gain from failure. So successfully making your passion into a business is a weird thing, because it can be both an awesome and awful thing. Awesome because obviously it worked, but then awful because it might corrupt the very thing that you love in the first place into something that, because of the business needs, that makes it no longer fun and interesting to do. And that's not good. But I think it's also important to look at it this way, to consider that actually, if you even get to a point where this is a problem, you've done an amazing thing already. It means that you can be creative in a way that the world not just approves, but also is willing to pay for. And that is a kind of assurance and a kind of acknowledgement and a kind of validation that I think is higher than just doing something that people can just thumbs up. That's a very difficult thing to do, and if you got to that point, I think you have to pat yourself on the back and give yourself your dues. I think that the difference here is that when it happens, then the next round begins, the next tier of gameplay begins. It means that the game now is no longer just for you to survive, it is for you to thrive. So let me know what you think in the comments if you're somebody who is a budding creative entrepreneur, or if you're a creative business owner yourself that has made it work, please share your ways of keeping your creative sanity amidst the idea of having to, you know, keep a business afloat. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you. Bye-bye.